Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now, for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Ready to take your backyard bird watching to the next level? I can't stop telling everybody about my new FeatherSnap bird feeder. It's a Wi-Fi enabled smart bird feeder, blending the best of technology and nature. I've enjoyed so much since we got this thing set up, looking up close at the birds when they land on the feeder. I get a notification to my phone with a picture. There's 3 pictures every time a bird lands on the feeder. And I get to see some cool action shots. I can see their faces close up, their eyes, their feathers, the detail on their heads. It's amazing. I've enjoyed seeing woodpeckers, goldfinches, male and female, house finches, chickadees, tufted titmouse, blue jay, a few squirrels. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. My issue with perimenopause was bloating, inflammation. I was also super fatigued and I had a lot of trouble sleeping. Now it's easier to manage menopause with Hormone Harmony. I went to a party last weekend and I couldn't believe how many of the women I was talking to were saying that they were going through perimenopause and had no relief from bloating, gas, hot flashes, mood swings, and just not feeling themselves. And I got it. I told them. I've been there. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. Women can't stop talking about it on social media, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogen. Here's the beauty about adaptogen. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymama.com. Just use the code CHAT at checkout. That's happymama.com and use the code CHAT for 15% off today.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 441.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm excited to bring you a conversation with someone who's doing some interesting work that I think might be beneficial to you if you've been needing some ways to work with parts of self and ways to get to know your inner world better. My guest today is Teresa Salzberg, LMFT, who is a holistic therapist certified in internal family systems. Many people are familiar with this. It's called IFS. And she uses expressive arts and focuses in complex trauma in her practice. She combines IFS and expressive arts to support healing through deep parts work and creativity, offering a playful, colorful, and enjoyable journey of self-discovery, transformation, and authenticity. Teresa offers coaching and therapy groups as well as individual counseling, and she's currently working on a book that captures the steps of this journey focused on mixed media, visual arts, journaling. And we had a really nice conversation earlier this year, and I found it exciting and inspiring. So I hope you will too. Let's dive right into my conversation with Teresa Salzberg. And as always, thank you so much for listening to Therapy Chat. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm very excited to be joined by Teresa Salzberg. Teresa, thank you so much for being my guest on Therapy Chat today.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura. It's great to be here.
You're welcome. I'm really excited. We're going to talk about a very multifaceted discussion. We're going to cover the Enneagram, parts work using IFS, complex trauma, expressive arts, specifically art journaling, all of that in one little conversation. So I'm really, really excited to get into it because all of those are things that I'm very interested in discussing with you. So let's just start off by you telling our audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm just laughing because I just love to layer things and like bring them all together. So I'm just laughing because I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what I do. And I appreciate you kind of understanding it. But then what I like to do is like simplify it too. So just to introduce myself, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, LMFT, working out of California. So I'm in the Santa Cruz Mountains. We're about an hour and a half from San Francisco. And I worked for a good while in Silicon Valley as a training and development, organization development professional in the corporate world, and then did, as many people can probably relate, a career change a little bit later in life. So, and I feel like that's kind of always what I was meant to do, but I was kind of gathering what I needed to be able to do that. And I love this field because there's a lot of people that kind of like you're ready. Sometimes you feel like you're ready when you're you've lived a little bit longer. So I went to JFK University here in the Bay Area. And if you've heard of CIIS, JFK is it's holistically, at least the program I did is a holistic counseling program. And they actually still offer, they were purchased by National University, but JFK still kind of exists within that framework. But they offer, and I think still, a trauma certification, which is about another year long. And I did that as well. And that's how I became interested in and now focus on complex trauma with my clients. And I also did my IFS, Internal Family Systems, level one, the same time I graduated from JFK. And then I'm completing level two right now. So I work with adults and couples, and I am primarily an IFS, complex trauma, and then expressive arts practitioner. I also did like a 9-month long expressive arts training along with the art journaling kind of facilitation work that I do just to learn about mixed media art, which I love. So when I was younger, I was an art and English major. So I come from that kind of background. And I just really was excited to kind of weave it back into my work. So the expressive arts, which is a bit different from just art therapy, it's like the holistic counseling training that I did. It brings in the somatic, it brings in movement, it brings in drama and interaction. And so the way that I can weave in sort of the IFS parts work is like, oh, we're interacting with these images that we kind of chose subconsciously that it's on this page. And now we can have a parts conversation just like we would with Jungian work of, you know, like active imagination, things like that. So I hope that's kind of an intro to what I do and also a little bit about me. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I find it very interesting because my entree into like mindfulness, somatic work and parts work and expressive arts was all through a certificate program I did about 10 years ago. And so the way that I first learned, I have not done a level one of IFS, as I've mentioned to you before. I've done some 3-day weekends and a 5-day intensive, but no level one. But the way I really learned parts work was through more like using collage, using movement, a little bit of psychodrama. And it just makes sense to me to do it that way. But I just wanted to say something too about you being a complex trauma specialist using IFS. It's not, those don't necessarily go hand in hand either. Right? Because a lot of people who do IFS don't necessarily use the trauma lens in that work. So I think you know, when someone does specialize in complex trauma and uses IFS with complex trauma, that's a special combination to have access to.
I appreciate that. You know, when we're the fish swimming in the water, it's kind of, oh, that's what I do. But yes, I appreciate that reflection. And, you know, it's interesting when I was in my program, especially one instructor I'm thinking about, she's like, you know, the clients that need you will choose you somehow. They'll just kind of show up. And that's what I find really amazing, that has really happened. That, you know, I'd say probably almost all of my clients are IFS complex trauma, and then some expressive arts. And the expressive arts piece, it's interesting. Part of that work is that it can be really kind of hard to weave it in, especially with one-on-one. I have a few clients who've really picked it up and run with it. But that I find more that I have groups that I run that I do more of the expressive arts piece with them, because I think it's less maybe natural to, you know, for people, especially if they haven't done that kind of work before. And I feel like we kind of still have a little bit of a understandable bias towards, and somatic work, I think, is this way too. The talk therapy, we're just, yeah. But wait, I have all this stuff to talk about. And I think that even when we try to maybe do some somatic stuff, you can kind of introduce it or bring it in, but people are less used to, you almost have to do some psychoeducation about it, right? Of like,
oh yeah,
how it's helpful. And so what's interesting is that the expressive arts and working with imagery, it falls into the right brain part of our experience, just like somatic work. And it comes into that, it's that kind of healing. And so it's powerful. It's very powerful in that way. But I think it's almost like sometimes telling our story is really important too. And just like EMDR, we want to weave those together, right? But sometimes it takes a little more effort to get people to kind of, you know what I mean? Like engage with the right brain part of things,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's so vulnerable and it's so intimate that it maybe even could feel sometimes intimidating and overwhelming to do one-on-one, whereas in a group, maybe because other people are doing it too, everybody's kind of getting to check, oh, I'm not the only one feeling uncomfortable with this, but we're all doing it and it's okay. We can all do it, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. I wonder too, without meaning to, just because of COVID and everything having to go online, being able to do that, there's so much benefit to being in person because you get a different connection. But there's something too about being virtual, that you're in your own space and, you know, you're on the camera or whatever, but you can kind of like have a little bit of your kind of both, like, oh, you have your internal creative world, but then you have the connection too, but it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. It maybe creates a little bit more of a safety mechanism when, you know, to kind of deal with that part of it. Cause even if we do movement, it's like, well, you can turn your camera off and even when you do IFS, it's like, oh, and by you can close your eyes, you can turn your camera off, you know, you can kind of go into your little space. You have some more options a little bit in that way than perhaps, again, there's great benefits to being in person. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, I'm all virtual now, actually. And I think I was telling you that I did my internship right when COVID hit. And so I kind of, it was like trial by fire. That's just what you had to kind of learn, which all of us can, I think, relate to. Both as clients and therapists, right?
Very true. And it does, there is something about virtual that feels a little bit more contained, I think. So maybe, you know, I've heard people talk about how there's like a distance between the therapist and the client. So it might feel a little safer in that way, that it's like, you know, that bit of little distance, but maybe also you're sort of in your own cocoon while you're doing it, assuming that you're able to be in your own space. Now, sometimes people are doing virtual work sitting in their car in a parking lot. It might be a lot different.
It's a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really hear you. And, you know, I think too, not everyone is the same, but for a lot of people that I've experienced and myself too with complex trauma, part of that healing is kind of getting, like, being able to regulate and be in your body and being somatic. Again, there's obviously a range to that and everybody's different, but that's been a challenge of mine. And then to get comfortable doing something like art with other people, you know, I'm less able to just kind of let go and be as expressive as I'd like to be. So I know it's just, it's kind of a container that we can create in that way. So.
And you're making me think about a lot of experiences I've had with expressive arts where I'm like, if it's one-on-one, if I were in a room with someone one-on-one, I'm sure I would feel like very self-conscious because that's a tendency that I have when I'm in a vulnerable situation to become very self-conscious. And
exactly.
But then when I'm in a group, in a room, like if I'm in a classroom learning and I'm doing it, or in, you know, a group environment, I'm sort of tuning out the group and really focusing on what I'm doing. So it's not, I'm not like, oh, what are you doing? But then again, that's me. Other people might be more wanting to see what other people are doing. But it's interesting. I haven't thought that much about the different ways our system just reacts to, you know.
Yeah. And that can be part of the learning too, is like, hey, we're learning to self-regulate in a group. You know how we say that, you know, we heal complex trauma in relationship because that's where the wounding had happened, right? So that, so I see the benefit in that. And I also would say that we are still connected online, but it's less of that somatic like intensity, because I get really self-conscious in groups myself. Even as a, I've had to work really hard to be able to present to groups. It's one of my, as we'd say in, you know, growing edges, you know, I don't know if people use that term, but we used to use that in my program, like, what's your growing edge? And that's one of mine. And so I can really relate to that. And in a way, it's like we can work on that. But maybe as a beginner and just starting out, it might be nice to not have that pressure from the very beginning. And I, with one-on-one, a couple of my clients just kind of naturally have done this where we'll talk about what they might do and they'll do it in between sessions and then come back and share it. So I'm thinking of a client who was working through grief. And she had really picked up on the art journaling piece. And I had, you know, I kind of send her a few things in between of like, here's how to do some layering and things like that. And she just ran with it and was just doing such beautiful, amazing work with it. Where, do you mind if I give like a little, just like example for
no,
that transformation?
That's wonderful.
Yeah. She had, you know, as a lot of us might go through, she had lost a parent. And then towards the end of that relationship, it had gotten really hard, like that he had had dementia and just really, it was really negative. Their relationship turned really negative. Yeah. It's just carrying that, you know, as you lose someone, carrying that with her. And then as it wasn't really exactly her intention, but I was, you know, the expressive arts can go along with things like, oh, write a letter to that person. You know, it goes right along with those kinds of things. And I do a lot of writing on the layer, that's a lot of the expressive art too. You can write, and then a lot of it, I'll just paint over it, not to get rid of it, but just to have, you know, layers, and just, you have a little bit of like, that's kind of a private space, you feel like, you know. But she said that when she came back the next session, she's like, I was able to connect back with the positive memories with him by doing the collage work and the images. Those images just brought that force for her. And she's like, it was just so freeing to not be just stuck in the negative regret and, you know, that part of the grief. It just opened something up for her. And she really did that on her own. You know, like when we talk about humanistic, holistic approach, it's like we're trusting the client to do this healing. And that's what I think is so amazing. It's just, and the, you know, that tool might be right for someone. IFS might be right for someone. And then I do CBT with some clients because that's where they are. They're like, I'm not ready for that. It's just, you know, and I had a phase where I needed to do CBT for about a year, you know, in my past to, you know, we need different tools and different layers of tools to draw from. And they're all good. I have no bias against, you know, so many, like, that's what's amazing about being therapists, right? We have so many options and so many tools.
Yeah.
So anyway.
And where we are, where the individual who's wanting to work through something, grow in some area of their lives, whatever their need is for therapy, we're at different places when we start that journey. And I know for me, I know art therapy or somatic work would have been way too vulnerable for me at first.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know, something I learned in one of my trainings is that, you know, you need like the cognitive to sort of hang on to help you feel safe enough to do the deeper work. Because if you don't understand what's happening, it's like that loss of control from the traumatic experience.
So true. And the CBT therapist that I saw, she just naturally included self-compassion work. Mm. And actually using Kristen Neff has a book. It's the workbook she's created. And she would have me do like a chapter of that in every session. Because, you know, CBT is very much about go do the thing and come. And that helped more than anything. Because if you think about this, the parts too, our inner critic is, and our perfectionism or whatever that is, comes in and can derail us from being able to do any of that vulnerable stuff. So if you kind of go down to the root of it a little bit more, right? And then get used to that, you know, I really bring in the concepts of, you know, I really love Pete Walker's book, of, you know, that he outlines so many just great tools, such as reparenting. And, you know, as part of IFS too, is what are we doing? We're learning to interact with those younger parts of us in different ways so that we can do those other more vulnerable things. And like you said, if we don't take the steps to build that capacity, we're just gonna, you know, I've been there. I've tried to do IFS, you know, therapy, and I wasn't able to because I had this narrator part coming in and like, no, we need to tell this story. We need, you know, it's like, you've got to build the capacity. So I think that's a really good reminder for us as clients and us as therapists of just like, you know, if I have a client come in, they're like, this is really weird, this IFS thing. I'm like, thanks for telling me. Let's step back and do some other stuff, you know?
Yeah. Why are so many dogs suffering with health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's been seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. I've noticed that when I feed my dogs regular supermarket brands, they have more itchy skin, scratching their ears, behavior issues, agitation. And when I feed them healthy whole foods, superfoods, they're calmer, happier, and not having those skin issues and ear discomfort. Go to badlandsranch.com/chat and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/chat today.
Well, that's what sounds very beautiful about what you're doing, is that you're bringing in a lot of different things. Now, one thing we haven't talked about yet, and I'd like to get that out here, is how you're using the Enneagram. And I've never interviewed anyone about the Enneagram. So if you can just give a little bit of like background for people who've never heard of it, of sort of what it is and how you're using it and how it fits in with both the parts work and the expressive arts and the art journaling. So not both, but all three.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So I was a trained coach, and I did that probably like 2011. And that went right along with my corporate career, what have you. Right. But the coach training I did was had a very like mindfulness, you know, spiritual focus to it. And we used the Enneagram actually in that training. And the Enneagram Institute, which is a fantastic organization, and on their website, they have so much information about the different types and things like that. I mean, the Enneagram has, as a lot of people know, very spiritual, you know, background to it and components to it. I think people don't even completely know where exactly it came from.
I know.
And so, yeah, and I wouldn't probably do a great job talking about it. It's a very old system and was kind of passed down word of mouth for a long time. Mm. And then picked up not that long ago, but then kind of started being used as more of like a different types of personality type of tool. And as you probably know, a lot of therapists and spiritual and even people that like religious people use it for that, you know, that purpose. But with any tool like that, the kind of the pros and cons of it are that you can maybe, we were talking about this earlier, like, we don't want to label people with it or say, oh, you're that. So one thing I noticed is that, so I'm going to step back, and because I was laughing about some of my tendencies to do things certain ways. When I was in the corporate world, we used the Gallup StrengthsFinder, which I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. And that was actually a really pretty amazing tool to just see what you're, you know, how you show up really naturally. And we talk about that being kind of like talents in the sense that we naturally show up in certain ways. And as we know, as more trauma focused people, well, that can have to do with how, what we need to do to survive and which parts come up and protectors come up. And then, as you know, we prune our neurotransmitters to not use certain things and use others. Well, if you look at the Enneagram, I look at it as a whole, actually, which, sorry, my headphone fell out, which you and I were talking about earlier, that, and I have a Jungian background. I love Jungian psychology, and that was part of my studies as well, which I think a lot of us love the system of archetypes and things like that. Well, if you think of all those nine aspects as being part of a whole, that's really how I look at it. Because if you, for example, don't, you know, if you took those and listed them from top to bottom, because I actually just took the, like an assessment again. And like, I have a couple that are almost the same, but I always like, oh, I'm a four, but the nine is just like one percentage away from that. So it's just like, well, we never would really even consider that we have this other one that's so strong in us. And if you look all the way to the least, the one you relate to least, for me, that's the eight. That is the work I need to do, though. That to me is almost like a shadow part of me that I do not show up direct and confrontational, but, and it's to my detriment because it's imbalanced in my system. Mm-hmm. So I started just really feeling like with IFS, we have, and with anything, we have a couple ways we could approach it. One is to do our own work and bring the trailhead and say, this is what's happening. And that leads to all our stuff, right? We know that. The other is maybe to take a framework.
Wait. Sorry, let me interrupt there. Just with the trailhead, what does that mean for people who've never heard of this?
Yes. Sorry. Thank you for asking. Well, it's Dick Schwartz had coined that term for when you come to therapy and you're like, oh, this probably isn't important, but my dog is really bothering me. Talk about my dog. And then you're like, by the end of the session, like, what did that really actually point to? That so the term trailhead, if you think about that, it's like it's a signpost to like wherever you go, there you are. Like that's you, no matter what unseeming, like no matter how seemingly unimportant it is, right? That it's us. We show up that way, and there's a protector there. That's okay. The dog's bugging them, and you know it would be similar as if it were really, you know, big T trauma, and you know that they all point to our same protectors and that's our system.
It's sort of like an entry point into where the real juicy stuff is.
Yeah. And so if you sat down and you were like, so I'm just thinking about one day I was sitting here and I had my art journal near me and something was really bothering me that had just happened, but then I had to go right into a call, which we can probably all kind of relate to. And I just started like sketching out the parts. And then I had like self in the middle. And this is kind of how I tend to do my like bringing IFS into art journaling. And then later, and then I could write like with each of the parts, like what they were maybe saying there. And then later I can add paint and images and stuff like that. Mm. And it fleshes it out even more. So that's a way to do it from like what's here. And then I'm going to go and like work it out over here. Then if you think of, and especially for art journaling, there are prompts that we use, right? And I actually, when I had a group when I was training, and I was actually like, because I tend to just be like, let's go here, let's go there. I'm like, maybe we don't have to use prompts. And it was just like two people. It was like during COVID. And they're like, we really need prompts. Like we need, so if you think about that, like we need a container to play in. So it's like, that would be what I was just describing. Like we can kind of do that on our own once we get used to the vocabulary of what's art journaling stuff. But in the beginning, especially, we kind of need something to focus in on. And that's why we have prompts for, you know, art journaling. So I started to think of using the Enneagram as that container where we can consider each of those aspects of ourselves. And even if it's not our type, well, is it something that I've, you know, that's like a shadow that I've sort of rejected, or somewhere in between where I don't even really think about it, but it does show up, I think. So each type to me kind of shows up as like, for example, type one, if you really dig underneath, it's got IFS elements right there. It's thing as a protector. There's always something that there's a fear there, which is the exile that we've pushed away. And each one kind of shows up in complex trauma language as that challenge and healing. Each of them actually also brings in the four Fs, the fight, flight, freeze, fawn. So think of like, a lot of people are familiar with type two, Enneagram type two, which is the helper, you know, the compassionate, I'm going to help you. But then if you take it to the extreme, it can become codependency, where we're doing too much and we're smothering. So if you think of that, either we've experienced it or maybe we show up that way. That would be the fawn, right?
Yeah.
Or like type eight, which is very intense and like leader and in your like, but can be controlling. Those are the two kind of aspects. Fight, right? That's the fight aspect. So again, like if I've disowned that, which I have, I'm a fawn person and I have a hard time saying no. You know, I we look at all of our stuff on a spectrum, right? It's like, well, if I just ignore that, you know, just talking about shadow work, I might not really be able to bring it back into my world. But if I can consider that, maybe how I show up that way, you know, I can really balance all of these in me and really just like parts work, like be able to own all my system, own all my stuff. How do I show up? What are the strengths there that I can gain back or gain more of a balance with? So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I love it. And I feel like I really get what you're saying. I think considering the Enneagram types as a spectrum and then each aspect of the types. So each number being on a spectrum within itself.
Yeah.
And how are those, some parts of it we might be like, I know for myself when I did look at the Enneagram, and it's probably 20 years ago and before I was a therapist, was like, I don't, you know, this one's kind of like me, but it's not. And I don't know. And I'm kind of like this, but I think I'm more like this. And what I struggled with was not wanting to choose one number and say, this defines me. I'm exactly the same way when people are like, so I'm an INFJ, what are you? And I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel this way. Sometimes I feel this way. I don't want to pin myself into this one like label that's too rigid for me. But at the same time, there are aspects of myself that, you know, there are certain things that I might read and go, well, I'm definitely not that. And that's probably something that I've exiled within myself that I don't want to be. I don't want to identify. And I used to think, like you were saying, about being more of a, you said fawn, but I'll use like people pleasing and just wanting to be agreeable and appeasing. Maybe I can think of a time in my own self where I would be like, well, of course I don't want to be a mean person. I don't want to be confrontational to people. I don't like that. I'll just never be that way. And then I'll like myself and that's it. But of course there's part of you that's like, but sometimes I want to say hell no, you know, to something, not just no, but like, and not just try to couch it in a really nice way, because that's a part of being human, is that some things are not okay with you, you know?
And complex trauma adds that layer where it becomes unsafe to do certain things. Yes. And especially for a lot of us, our anger is one of the main emotions that we are kind of forced to disown. And that,
especially,
you know,
those socialized as women.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's what I'm saying about, well, how can we own all of it in a way that makes sense to us? And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, that piece for me is so intense that it's almost like they're protectors. It becomes a survival piece, right? Because it's like, it was unsafe to express not only anger, but any kind of emotion in my environment.
Or any disagreement, maybe.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. And so it's like to say like, oh, that's not my type, in a way it kind of like lets go of so much possibility, in my opinion, where it's like, you know, and I'm thinking of, if you know, so earlier we were talking about parts work and about how you and I think any of us have brought that in, because if you think of like, it's Jungian, it's Gestalt, it's, if you know, voice dialogue was a precursor to IFS, and IFS is a system taking that concept, and as Dick Schwartz would say himself, fleshing it out into a way to kind of like navigate it within especially a therapeutic or coaching environment. But those pieces are there. And like with any kind of concept like that, they're there for all of us to use and benefit from. And there's so much history there and knowledge that comes before it, right? And I was looking at it, and I think they look at Jungian. There's some other people that were doing other kind of more, almost more like IFS during that time. But, you know, Carl Jung and his archetypes were kind of one of the main founders of that kind of like duality within us of like, we have all these different parts to us. So voice dialogue was actually the first thing that I learned back, you know, when I was first coach. There was, I need to find this exact training, but it was like your internal team, I think it was called. And it was about how, and it was a coach for corporate situations. Like all the parts of you are sitting at this conference table, you know, and they're all different. And so that was actually the first kind of parts approach that I had learned. And the art journaling,
it's called something's table. I think it's like someone's name. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like something's table. And it's often referred to in EMDR too, but I don't.
Okay.
So a lot of these things are like,
they do.
You know,
they all merge.
Influenced by one another. Yeah.
Exactly.
Sorry, I can't remember the table thing.
Yeah, exactly. And other people might know. Sorry, I said it. A lot of other people probably can tell us what exactly that was, but it was like maybe 10, 12 years ago. And I wasn't really ready for IFS yet at that time, because I feel like I wasn't in as much of like a intensely therapeutic situation. I was working more with groups and things like that in like a corporate training environment. But it was just, it's that way of thinking almost. And so this, like Helen Sidra-Stone, who started Voice Dialogue, their daughter Tamara actually continues to do their work. I think Hal had passed away recently. But she, I love this, and this metaphor she used, that she's like, okay, when we look at something that we've, you know, it's like our shadow, and it's like a part that we're not really embracing. She calls it like the homeopathic drop. She's like, we don't expect you to completely become that. It's too extreme to expect that. But what is the homeopathic drop you can bring back in to who you are? That is powerful. That is so powerful. So I've offered that to clients, and they're like, especially couples where they're so kind of like doing opposite types of, you know, we're attracted to our opposite, right? And we're pushing against each other, and he's that. And it becomes really black and white and really dualistic sometimes, right? So it's like, what is a drop of who he is being that you can bring back for you? And they're like, yeah, you know, I can own that back, you know? So that's kind of part of that viewpoint that I really find powerful. It's like, what part of that might we, you know, and there may be really deeper work to do. Like there's a fear for me in that, and a lot of people that have complex trauma, of like, it's literally a survival mechanism to go to the whatever 4F we go to, whatever fight, flight, free we go to. It's a survival mechanism. We don't just turn it off, but we can continue to do that roots down work and get to how that shows up. Yeah.
This is so interesting. And I really wish we had more time to talk. I'm so interested in how you're doing this. I know I would love to take your course myself. So will you tell everyone, tell us how you make this accessible to more people, even outside of California? Because
yeah,
I want to look into it.
Thank you. I so appreciate that. And it's a really good point, since I did say, you know, I'm licensed in California, and I do one-on-one therapy in the state virtually, but I've created this course. It's online. And then also I'm writing a book based on, you know, all the different parts, and then with a prompt for each one. So that'll become almost like a workbook, so people can learn, you know, the expressive arts, mixed media art journaling approach, which we didn't get to talk about that much specifically, but we've created like a video and a downloadable, what to call it, like a
PDF or something.
Yes. A tool, especially to see the layering. So the art journaling approach that I learned is called Soul Pages. And I did a facilitator course about 9 months with that. And it's really about this mixed media approach. So there's that, there's kind of the nuts and bolts part of it too. The thing is, you do not have to be an artist. You do not have to, we're not making finished pieces. We're expressing and getting in there and like using images from magazines and books. And like, that's the beauty of it is like any of us can go in and just have a few things and get started and start expressing. That's what's beautiful about it. So we've provided some tools to get started. And then I have a coaching group that will be, and that's kind of because I was a coach, I do both. So that the coaching group is to learn, it will do a topic each week. It's an 8-week engagement and it's to learn, you know, do the prompts, each one, learn the IFS approach, the expressive arts piece with a group. So we're talking about the beauty of being able to learn with an online group. So that's open to, you know, anybody. And it's a coaching engagement versus more of the therapy. But I do run therapy groups as well. But that has to be in California just because it's the therapy part. So as you guys know, we kind of have to separate those aspects of what we do. Yeah.
And I know that you know the difference between how you deliver a therapy group and how you deliver a coaching group, even though to the general public, it might seem almost the same. There's differences in what makes it therapy versus coaching. So
exactly. We'll have a little bit more of the learning the nuts and bolts of the art part of it too, that we can include more of that in the coaching group. So we created a link that has those downloadable resources. And then all the information is there to how to join that group or join, you know, follow me on social media. And if you just want to kind of just hang out and learn a little bit more. So it's on that link that we've created that we'll add to your notes.
Awesome. So I will include that in the show notes so everybody can get it. And Teresa, thank you so much for being my guest today. I think we're going to have to probably talk again sometime in the future so we can get more in depth. But
I love
what you shared today. I'm really appreciative that you were here.
Thank you so much, Laura. I really appreciate you having me. It's been so great just to be able to share what I'm doing with your audience. So thank you.
Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.